Let's turn to the Word of God this evening to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Our text tonight is found in verse 15 of this chapter. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. It is the end of the year again. The year 2018 has sped by very quickly. Many of the events that have taken place in this year gone by have been a whirl. Some of them we cannot even remember. Others have left deep trenches in our lives that will never disappear. Some have made our hearts sore in joy. Others cast us into a tailspin out of which only God by His grace has upheld us. Some have received the precious gift of life in the birth of a child. Others have had life threatened by disease. Many have been blessed with health in this past year. Others received surgery and suffered the effects of age and illness. It has been an eventful year, even for our little congregation here, beloved saints of God's covenant. On the last day of the year, we reflect on that hand of God toward you and me in our lives. And as we do, we say, how good God has been to us. In all our joys and in all our sorrows, there has been one outstanding truth that is a rock to us. God is our God, and we are His people. We are the people of God's covenant, a covenant that God has established a long time ago with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that covenant with His people is what stands behind what you and I are considering tonight in the passage before us, of course. What better thing to contemplate on this last day of the year than God's covenant? His covenant is not some cold, abstract doctrine from which we can detach ourselves without it affecting our lives in this present world. God's covenant is the heartbeat and the pulse of our Christian life in this world. And by it we have received strength to endure in this year that has gone by, and we will receive strength to endure in the year to come as well. The patriarch David, or Jacob, had just left his father's house in Beersheba, and he set out on a long journey to travel to Paddan Aram. He was leaving the land of Canaan in order to travel to this faraway country for a couple of different reasons. In the first place, he was fleeing in order to escape Esau's anger against him, who was at that particular time out to kill Jacob. But there's a second reason, too, that we found in the chapter that we read tonight, and that was that he would go seek a God-fearing wife who would bear him sons and daughters of the covenant. On his way to Haran, or Paddan Aram, while he was yet in Canaan in a place called Luz, which Jacob later called Bethel, Jacob stopped. He was tired. He had to sleep. And while sleeping, he had a dream. And that dream was that of a ladder which was reaching from earth and into heaven. He saw angels climbing this ladder from earth to heaven and then again descending from heaven to the earth. But it was at the top of that ladder in heaven that he saw God, who spoke to him the words of that same covenant that he spoke to Abraham and to Isaac, and gave, mind you, the same promises to Jacob that he gave to Father Abraham too. Number one, your seed is going to inherit this land of Canaan. And number two, your seed is going to be as the sand by the seashore, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. It was then that he spoke the words that we're going to consider tonight. These words, I will keep you in all places you go. I will not leave you. Consider with me tonight, kept in all places. Kept in all places. In the first place, God's promise. Secondly, its scope. And then finally, its purpose. God's covenant, beloved saints, is of a very personal nature. And that's true because God's covenant, you see, is an intimate relationship between the Most High God and His chosen people in Christ. I know that there are many today, probably most, who like to speak of that covenant as a pact or a contract into which God enters with man, and that with all of the members of His church institute. It's a covenant, therefore, that is conditioned on man whether he chooses to believe in God and in Jesus Christ and walk in their ways. But such an idea of God's covenant is cold and it's empty because, you see, it grants no assurance for the new year to come, and certainly it has not granted us any assurance in this year that has gone by. The words of the covenant that were spoken to Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 7, are filled with warmth and encouragement. I, God says, will establish my covenant between me and you, and I'll be a God unto you and unto your children after you in their generations. There's no pact spoken of there in that particular verse, only a close, intimate relationship that God repeats over and over again, many different times to His church, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. For example, we read of this beautiful testimony in Leviticus 26, verse 12. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. These words express, beloved saints, a close, intimate relationship of love and favor that God shares in with His people in Christ. It's a special relationship, a special relationship of love and fellowship that God shares only with His elect people. Now, on the basis of this covenant, God spoke what He did to Jacob in the verse that we consider tonight. Behold, take note, Jacob, I am with thee. I'm with you. God reassured Jacob that being his God, he would now be with Jacob. That was a promise that God gave to this man, Jacob. Jacob, you are leaving your mother and your father. You are leaving the land of Canaan, the land that I have promised to your children and to you. But you need not fear, Jacob, in all of your journeys and wherever I lead you, because I am with you. That promise was sure, because you see, that was the promise of God's covenant. And God's covenant is always sure. When you and I look back across the year 2018, then we too, as Jacob, cling to that same promise of God's covenant. I am with you. Enjoy, we say that. God has been with us as a Church of Jesus Christ this past year, and a young couple in our congregation when He blessed us with a birth in this year gone by. When we look into the face of that infant that was born, we don't just see another baby. But God has been with us and has blessed us with another child of the covenant. When God gives us children and we look at the daunting task that we as parents have in instructing our children in the fear of His name, we know that God is faithful to us and that God will be with us using the weakest means to fulfill His will. When we are faced with the greatest of trials, we have the greatest of assurance. God is my help and my shield. And God will help me, and I know that right early. That was Jacob's hope too, as he traveled to the unknown future. Not only did God tell him at that time, "I will be with you, Jacob," but try to imagine now the Almighty God saying to you these words as well. "And I will keep you, keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee." Now, here's Jacob traveling to a far-off land that he knew nothing of. He didn't know what his future was all going to be like, and that's true of us when it comes to the new year, too. In fact, the passage before us would make an excellent New Year's text, as well as an old year's. We do not know what next year is going to bring for us, do we? The different twists, the different turns along life's pathway. And it's the greatest of blessings to know that this God is our God, and He will always be there for us. He will not leave us. God will never forsake us. He doesn't forsake us in the joys that we experience. He's there with us. He's giving us that joy, but He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us in the times of need either. He is our God. And that God has sworn a marriage vow to His bride, the church. He has said to that church, "I will be your God and you will be my people, my bride, forever. I'm your husband. You're my wife. And I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, ever. And you need never doubt that either. I have loved you from all eternity with an unchangeable love. I have saved you by my grace and in that great love. You, my church, and the people of my pasture are my love, and you have my favor. I share that with nobody else in this world, only with you, my bride. And I won't leave you." It is that promise of our faithful God to which we have clung in this past year. That's what has given us stability. That's what has given us peace of heart. That's what gives us patient endurance, also in the many trials of life that we have confronted in this valley of tears. Further, God said to Jacob, "I will keep you. I will keep you." And that really goes beyond leaving or forsaking. God can say, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," but really the positive side of this is, "I will keep you." God promises that. And to Jacob, that meant two distinct truths. In the first place, it means that He will take care of us. We don't have anything to worry about. God takes care of us. When we look back across this year, God has taken care of us. That's what it means to keep, to take care of. For example, a gardener likes to keep his or her garden. And when they keep that garden, that means they give it their tender, loving care. They nurture not just the garden as a whole, but every little plant of that garden. They have a particular care. In fact, in the morning, they'll go out to that garden and they'll look at this plant or that plant, maybe that one that's withering a little bit, and they'll worry about what's wrong with that plant. There's tender care, you see, that gardener bestows on that garden. We sing of that in Psalm 126. "The sower bearing precious seed may weep while in his toil he grieves, but he shall come again with joy and harvest time with golden sheaves." God cares for His garden, the church, and each one of its tender plants, from the littlest of them to the oldest of them. He takes care of them. And out of His great love for His people, He has a special care for each one of them. No one in His church, in His garden, escapes God's care and nurture. When we look at our lives in this year gone by, God has, in fact, cared for each and every one of us in our own particular needs. He's kept us, He's nurtured us, and He's done that for a reason. We're going to find out the reason a little bit later on tonight too, but He does it in order to bring forth the end of this year, bring us forth into the end of this year as golden sheaves. That in the first place. In the second place, this term keep means preserve. God will keep us, preserve us. Oh yeah, there it is. The truth of God's word that so many today like to deny. But one that is, for us, what has given us stability and security in this past year. God preserves His saints. We rejoice in that, beloved saints, at the end of another year. God's preserved us. If God had not preserved you and me, we would have fallen away this past year in our own weakness and in our own sin. We have been preserved by God's grace alone, a grace that He shows only to those who belong to His covenant, remember. He's preserved us in the salvation that Jesus Christ has purchased for you and me on the cross. By the power of our risen Lord and by the work of that Holy Spirit that Christ sends forth to dwell in our hearts, God has kept our feet from falling in this past year. And even when we stumbled and we fell, and we have, we're not sin-free. We've stumbled, we've fallen into sins in this past year. God hasn't forsaken us. But God has preserved us as His people. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. There have been instances in this past year that if we would not have been held up by the hand of our God, we would have cursed Him and died. We hear the promise of God's covenant. I am with you. I will keep you. I will not leave you. And that has been a mainstay for us again in this year. That was Jacob's strength as he went forward in his uncertain life. That will be our strength as we go forward into the new year as well. But this knowledge certainly strengthened us in this past year too. You know, sometimes the events of our lives and all of the circumstances that surround our lives leave individuals, leave us feeling alone, very alone. Sometimes that's true. And we might think to ourselves, others just do not understand what I'm going through. They don't understand what I'm feeling. They don't understand what life for me is all about. They don't understand my confusion at times. They don't understand the questions that arise oftentimes within my own heart and in my own soul. No one, it seems, really cares about the struggles that I have in my own particular life. Sometimes I'm in a very dark place in my life, and I feel safer not listening to people's well-intentioned but misdirected advice to me. Just leave me alone. If anyone had a reason to feel that way at this particular point in his life, Jacob did, who was alone, all alone. Except for one. God is always there. And God knows what goes on in our hearts and in the struggles that we have in our particular lives and oftentimes within our own particular families too. And to hear God, the God who knows and understands our thoughts, the God who directs every circumstance that's taking place in our life, The God who in Christ is touched with all the feelings of our infirmities, to hear that God say, I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, that becomes a comfort. These words to Jacob speak of the scope now of God's promise to you and to me and to Jacob. Let me speak just a little bit from experience in my own life. As a minister of the gospel in our churches, I have taken various calls to different places. Sometimes it was rather difficult taking those calls because I knew that it would have a direct effect on my wife and on my children. I moved to Jamaica when my children were rather small, probably didn't really know all that much, but my young wife had to leave the security of the United States to move to a very poor country where life was going to be very difficult for her. I moved to Kalamazoo when I had a child in high school and another one soon to enter into high school. And they had to leave their close friends and learn to have new ones. I moved to Pittsburgh with a daughter who had just started dating a young man seriously, and another daughter who was just entering into high school. These had to leave their family behind, their loved ones behind, and start a whole new life. Which meant, of course, that they had to leave old friends behind. They had to leave their comfort zone. And they had to put themselves out there and find and make new friends all over again. Probably some of you have had similar experiences. Those kinds of moves are not easy to make because you're moving from one place to another place. Well, that was true of Jacob. But in them all, God never left my wife, never left my children, but always kept us safe and secure in His sovereign care. Why? Because God loves the people of His covenant. He loves us. He promises that He will always be there for us in all places that we shall go. That's what the Word of God before us tonight says. And He promises us that wherever He may lead us in this life, we are going to flourish under His care because we are the plants of His garden, remember, whom He loves. And He will care for all of our needs. But now, that's of course talking about locality. And that really was of the essence with Jacob when God spoke these words to him. But you know, really when you look at the passage that we have before us, the word places is in italics. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all whither thou goest. So now we looked at locality, but you know, God doesn't really specifically state locality here to Jacob. What He is saying is, I will keep you in every circumstance of life through which I am going to lead you, Jacob. He would keep Jacob in all the places that he would go, surely, but God would be with him through every circumstance of life that he would lead Jacob to. And that same has been true of you and of me in this year past. God has kept us in every circumstance of life. It's easy to say when all is going well for us, life is smooth. When life runs smoothly, we bask, don't we, in the joy that God is with us and caring for us. And we may. God gives us those joys in our lives. But life doesn't always go that smoothly for us. When God, in his sovereign dealings with us, requires that a husband and a wife who lived together for 60 years as one flesh and who had learned to depend entirely upon one another, when God sovereignly requires that the husband now must be admitted to a facility caring for those with dementia while his wife remains home alone without him, you don't think that that rips her heart out? When a father whom we love does not remember who we are anymore, you don't think that that hurts children? When a young daughter is diagnosed as having leukemia and is threatened by death, it not only tests her faith as a little child, and still does, but can you imagine the panic and the almost unbearable burden that parents have to bear when they see that? When we are witnesses in our home and family to broken relationships between parents, or in the lives of our siblings and their spouses, or our children and their spouses, it breaks our hearts to the point of weeping in helplessness over it all. When someone is taken suddenly from us in death, a parent, a spouse, a child, that leaves an empty space that yawns before us, seeking to swallow us up, doesn't it? Surely it does. Imagine the pain when a spouse is unfaithful and ends up forsaking his wife and his children. And imagine that wife lying in a ball on the floor, weeping uncontrollably. Those are painful experiences, aren't they? And certainly we can give any number of circumstances in life that would pull us under in our grief. But then, we hear God say to us, I am with you, and I will keep you no matter where you are in your life, no matter what the circumstance might be in your life, I will never, ever leave you because I'm your God and I love you. We've clung to that again in this past year, haven't we? We'll have to cling to it again in the new year as well. I'm reminded of Psalm 61, the first couple of verses of that chapter, where the psalmist says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm reminded of that word of the psalmist when we look in the year that has passed us by. When our heart was overwhelmed in this past year, we cried to Jehovah, our faithful God. We may have cried from our bed in our homes. We may have cried from a hospital bed. We may have cried when we knelt beside a death bed. But every time we cry, God hears us, and his ear is open unto the cries of his children in all of their needs. And he leads us to the rock that is Jesus Christ our Lord, where we find our comfort both in life and in death. We are led to the one through whom, or through his death, who has removed our punishment. The one who has reconciled us to God so that now we have become God's very own adopted children, whom he loves and will care for, even in our darkest hour. Our God will lead us through all these circumstances of life, and he leads us to the promised land. That's what he says to Jacob, doesn't he, here in the verse that we consider. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee. I'll bring you again into this land. No matter where Jacob went, God says, no matter what circumstance of life through which I've led you, Jacob, you will return to this promised land of Canaan. You have to remember that God's covenant in the Old Testament was always wrapped up in these earthly matters, the earthly land of Canaan, for example. But that word that God gave to Jacob was indeed a word of hope, and God would again bring him to that land of promise. A word, people of God, that comes to you and to me too. Jacob, I'm not going to leave you in that land where you have no true abiding place. I'm going to bring you to the land of Canaan once again. People of God, believers who have heaven as their home, and we do, believer, I'm not going to leave you in this world where you have no abiding place. But I'm going to use the various circumstances of your life to lead you home again, to heaven. A place and a land where there will be no more pain or sorrow. No more tears will pass from our eyes, because the life in this world of sin will end and we'll receive the land of perfect rest. That's ours. It awaits us. That's been a mainstay for us in this year gone by. It always is for the believer. Sometimes we forget about that when life seems to be going rather smoothly, but God very quickly reminds us of that again, doesn't he? Now, God promised Jacob that he would not leave Jacob, and at the conclusion of our text tells him, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's how God concludes what he says to Jacob. That's the conclusion of our text. God would keep Jacob until he fulfilled his promises to that man of God. In other words, God's purpose in keeping Jacob through all of the circumstances of his life was in order to fulfill his promise. God would lead Jacob in the particular way that he chose. He would lead Jacob through each individual circumstance of his life that from all eternity he has willed for him. It was all in God's plan. He would lead Jacob through each circumstance of life in order that he might fulfill the promise to Abraham or to Jacob to bring him back to that land of Canaan. And that's significant as well for us tonight. You know, people of God, what happened to you and me in this year gone by, whether it's a time of joy that we have, whether it's a time of sorrow that we have, everything that happened in this past year, it didn't take place by chance. And the events of this past year were not all arbitrary little events that were disconnected with one another. This happens, and that happens, that happened, and there's no connection with it. They're all connected. Because all of them, you understand, are fulfilling exactly God's purpose for each one of us. And that's why Paul could say too, all things, everything will work together for your good, for those who love God. Everything will, because God is working them in such a way. I think the old hymn says it best. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make thee after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. God shapes us. God molds us for the particular place that we're going to receive in heaven. And God fulfills his purposes in us. He's done that in this past year. He's fulfilled his purposes in us. And in that we rejoice. While we leave 2018 behind and look to 2019, these words of God to Jacob will still follow us into the new year to come. God is with us. He will keep us in every way that he leads us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So now, tonight, we leave the year 2018 behind us with peace in our hearts. Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are thankful unto thee for thy faithfulness to us in this past year. We had things to rejoice in as a congregation, small as we might be. And we had things that we mourned and yet mourn. And yet we know that through them all, thou hast watched over us and cared for us and been faithful to us. And we're thankful unto thee for that. We rejoice in thee tonight, the living God. And now on the morrow, as we again attend to the worship of thy church, we look forward in hope to the new year to come. But thou keep us now in thy grace where we have stumbled in this past year and sinned, forgive us. Go with us now to equip us for the new year to come. For Jesus' sake, amen.